Grace Helbig has given us unbridled access to her iPhone.
What an absolute rascal.
Ha ha ha, banana. Random video 7.
If it looks close on camera, we were even closer in person.
Welcome to URL. I'm your host, Courtney Miller, and this show is all about the World Wide Web. The internet is huge, and it's a huge part of us. And I like to bother people and ask them how it has impacted them. Today, the person that's forced to hang out with me for the next hour is a literal legend. URL, today, that stands for You Are Legend. I have OG YouTuber, talk show host, producer, superhero actress, voice actor, just overall amazing human being, Grace Helbig. Hi.
Hi. Oh my God, that was so nice.
Well, but hold on. Did you know that on opposite day, you are actually clumsy heaven small?
Yes, that is. When I was in like third grade, this kid came up to me and he said, "Hey, Grace, I know a guy named Kevin Heavensmall." And I was like, "That's cool." And then cut to seventh grade, somehow I remember he said that and it finally hit me that that was a joke. And I was like, "Oh, why did this guy come up to me and randomly say he knows some other guy that I've never heard of before?" And yeah, 4 years later, I was like, "Wow, great joke, Alec."
Years later. Okay, so you're telling me you've heard the joke before.
But not in a while. So excellent.
Okay.
Very good.
I passed. Thank God. Okay, we can cut, guys. That was all I needed. Again, Grace, thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you for having me. This is huge.
As someone who has hosted talk shows before, I'm like ready to pick your brain.
Yeah, and I feel like you and I have been around each other for years, but we've never been able to talk like really one-on-one with a lot of other people in the room, but just I know,
yes.
I.
It's us, but it's also lots of people here.
Yeah,
we've met in such like random outings and hangouts and events. And like, so this is our first time like really like getting down.
Yeah, and the way you have moved in the YouTube space is so fascinating to me. So I equally would like to do brain picking if that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Picking is okay in this room. In this house, we allow picking. You have been on this channel before on Spend a Day with OG YouTubers.
Yeah.
And I've heard you say that you don't really consider yourself one of the OG OGs, but like maybe like season two.
Definitely. Because there was for sure people that I saw on YouTube when I first started uploading videos that were very successful, that were kind of these molds. You were getting Michael Buckley, What the Buck. You were getting Phil DeFranco giving news. Lisa Nova was doing like sketch comedy. Community Channel was doing comedy.
Yes.
Natalie, my absolute, God, that's talk about goats, which a word I never use.
I completely forgot about Community Channel.
She
was.
Because she's so quiet. She about herself and like her comedy, which is even more appealing to me, is that she has this quiet confidence. Who knows if it's absolutely neurotic anxiety, but to me it reads as this quiet confidence in what she's always done. And I've just thought it's so amazing.
Yeah. Hearing you say her channel, I literally went down like a vortex of watching. I watched so much of her stuff.
Yeah.
I actually would like, can you have... I want to watch a little bit of her.
Hi. So you know what bothers me? When you've lost something and your friend says something
this
like...
This blew my mind when she first did
where
these.
Where did you last leave your sunnies? Wherever you last left them is where they'll still be.
And then...
Where did the colored bars come from?
Oh, they happen whenever I can't remember anything. Or when I try and block things out of my memory.
So ahead of her time in like editing.
This was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
I was like, she's a filmmaker here on this platform.
I have this like locked away channel from 2009, like really way back when like I would try and do little sketches with multiple of myself.
Yeah.
And I used to think like, oh, maybe I got it from like Shane Dawson, you know, except without all the like eating shit. But no, I think it might have come from her.
Maybe.
And how she shot those.
I was blown away. I had very limited editing skills to begin with. But when I saw her do it, I was like, this is the bar's high.
Do you like the editing?
I think I like the control of it. I really don't know. I have very basic, limited editing skills. And so for me, it's almost become like a necessity in the creative process to at least be part of the editing, because historically, a lot of the comedy I tried to make online came from the editing and not from any sort of writing or the shoot itself. It was like, after the fact, how can I take this 15 minutes of random footage and try to make it funny? Oh, let me just add these jump cuts and these sound effects.
So Community Channel was a huge impact for you. I remember when we were briefly chatting about this before, about like, it was cool to see another creator who was like being funny and like not leaning on other stuff that like the internet was really saving to like clamor for.
I thought she had such a fun, silly, irreverent point of view, such a style. Same with Wheezy Waiter. I really was inspired so much by him in the beginning, and he was making videos every day, I think. Very similar kind of style of, like, he has clones, so it's him talking to him, but very irreverent. And that was just, like, hit the nail on the head for me. But also people that were really developing, I don't even think if it was conscious at the time, like a brand for themselves, that just you knew the tone of those people's types of videos.
Do you look back on those early ages of YouTube when the internet was so much smaller and like think like it was really cool to be a part of that time?
It's like, oh, you probably rewind and replay my body's like reaction to you even saying, look back on those times.
I'm sorry. Because I was looking back on those times too, to be clear. I was watching then too.
Yeah, it's a huge roller coaster of emotions, because I think I'm now finally in that phase where I'm really appreciative of being part of that moment in time for the internet, and in particular YouTube, that I don't know will ever happen again unless new platforms pop up. But the internet is so saturated now. And back then, it was like this sneaky little subversive place that you didn't tell anyone you were hanging out in because it wasn't cool. And so it felt safe in its, you know, subversion. But then as it grew, it became, you know, less, I don't know, you couldn't process it as much. The beginning just felt like this club. It felt like
it was a secret.
Yeah, and it felt like this club for kids that never got to be part of a club anywhere else in their lives.
Truly.
Yeah, it was like this island of misfit toys in a way. Not to undercut anyone that was, you know, a creator at the time, but it was just this like place that felt alternative to like mainstream entertainment and felt very accessible. So it was like there was a bond sort of shared, unspoken, I think, between creators of like, how incredible that we get to do this. And like, no one knows about it. This is crazy.
I also like when I talk about like that era as well, like, and what content is now, I look back and I'm like, damn, remember when a crazy idea for a video was like, I'm going to do my makeup without a mirror.
Yes, exactly.
Like, now people are like, I'm going to do a backflip off a $30,000 hotel room in Dubai. Like,
and then I'm going to tip someone $1 million at the same time and see what happens. Oh, wait, so when did you start in the world of content? Like, what era or year?
So when I finally figured out how to export videos from Windows Movie Maker in like 2009.
Wow. Shout out.
Yeah. I started uploading like garbage. It's like, and it's locked away with good reason. Like, maybe one day I can like share some, but it was like very experimental. I watched so much random stuff where like I don't think I subscribed to anyone until like years and years later, because I was just clicking around. It felt like a little secret place that I found a bunch of interesting people and like just started making stupid videos. Remember the era of like random videos? Like videos titles back then were just titled Random Video 5.
Yeah.
And like it was just a guy running around his house, a grown man running around his house just like screaming and then like doing a character in one part of the house. Like that was my whole life. And so, you know, it's crazy when you hear Gen Z or Gen Alpha calling millennials like all these things where it's like, that was so huge for me back then. Yeah.
They'll never understand the beauty of the beginning of the internet.
Mm-hmm. It was so small and precious. Like, and I feel like that with Tumblr too.
Yes.
You said that Tumblr was a big part as well.
Yes. Tumblr was a huge, so when I first started making videos and when I first got a job to create Daily Grace, the first web series that I did, like I was making YouTube videos and making videos with my roommate at the time in Brooklyn. And then I got hired and we created this series called Daily Grace. So then I was like full-time making 5 videos a week for my apartment. Like, here we go. This is incredible. Because I was making so much content and because it felt so shared with the audience, Tumblr became the best place to gather ideas and to ask the audience directly, like, what should I try try to do this week? What should I review this week? And it was such a, like, we're all in this together. We're all making this together. And it was just like a very cool way to kind of cross-platform make content.
Agreed. I felt when I really got into Tumblr, it felt like I was like, oh, this is like Reddit, but organized and more aesthetically pleasing.
Wait, did you know about Reddit at the time? See, I still don't even really understand Reddit.
I think I once typed reddit.com. I looked at it. I think I retched at how messy that website was. And I went right back to Tumblr into 100%. My pretty little scrolling. Like,
yeah, before aesthetic was even as prominent of a thing, Tumblr was doing that.
Yeah, I know. I get embarrassed to talk about other websites that were like do you remember My Life is Average or like FML?
I mean, FML as the jargon, but not a website. Okay.
This is embarrassing old internet lore that like it's fine. It is so fine.
What
it
are
like
these websites?
Millennial as hell. Where it was just like people would post little stories, and it was a website called My Life is Average, and people would just submit a cute little post and they'd have tons of likes, and the website you could either scroll through or like it would cater, you could press refresh and it would cater a random one to you, and it'd be like, a guy sat next to me and he was being rude and then he left and there was a $5 bill under his seat. My life is average. like it's so cringe now, but that was huge for me.
I would follow that account in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. But I don't know. I guess not many people knew about it.
No, not at all.
Nicole found My Life is Average, the website. So
this is incredible.
So basically people just
So it did
post,
exist, first
it,
of all.
It was real. I don't have a disorder where I made up a website in my head. Today, I printed out a recipe on the internet for making bacon cookies. Halfway through cooking, I realized that step 5 was beat it like it owes you money. Thank you, mysterious cookie pimp, for making my day. My life is average. Mysterious cookie pimp? Wow, we were so quirky, guys.
Oh my God. I am obsessed with this.
This was the energy of like, today I found out that October 5th is one of the most popular birthdays in the world. Why? Because it's 9 months from New Year's. Guess who now knows what their parents did 16 years ago on New Year's? My life is average.
This is so pure. But you see, this is literally like what everyone thought YouTubers' personalities were when we first started. Like,
so quirky.
Yeah, like, look at us. We're so goofy. This is so pure. I wish someone would buy this site and revamp it and bring this back.
I know. Like,
this is the mundane shit I want to hear about.
Truly. Okay, I'll read one more. Today, I discovered that if you put the word banana on a string of ha-has in a text, no one will notice the difference. For 2 days now, I have been texting ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, banana ha-ha, and no one has noticed. My life is average.
What a scoundrel. What an absolute rascal.
Ha-ha-ha, banana ha-ha. Random video 7.
But this is representative of how beautifully pure the internet was at its inception.
We were cringe, but we were free.
Yes, yes.
So free.
100%.
That was so huge for me, just like having that place, because I would go home and make these YouTube videos all throughout high school. I was making them, and I didn't learn until I graduated that like everyone thought I was really weird. Like, I actually had no idea. I think my undiagnosed, like, my therapist is like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you have ADHD. Like, it must have been so bad then that I just had no idea how weird people thought I was, because I was just in my own world. But that era was so special to me, like, all of that. Do you feel like the world is kind of, or the YouTube history is starting to, like, kind of cycle back to earlier stuff, though? Like,
I do think there's this emphasis on nostalgia right now, for sure. I think there is this, like, remember the good old days of YouTube that I feel like is in the zeitgeist. I don't know what's going to come of that, but I do think that people, and I've seen comments here and there, that people are retreating to, like, their comfort creators, are retreating to, like, the lo-fi pieces of content that just make them feel cozy and safe.
Yeah.
Which I get. Now is a very strange time to be a human in the world. So get your creature comforts.
Yeah, it was like early on, really chill vlogging, like daily vlogging was like sometimes all channels did. Yeah. And then Casey Neistat came in and created this whole like cinematography documentary, almost like action heist film vlog. And now we're kind of back into like chill vlogging again. Have you seen Emma Chamberlain's vlogs?
I have seen a couple clips of her. I've obviously known of this alien identity of Emma Chamberlain that has come through YouTube and the social media world and just like swept it all up.
Yeah.
And I've watched a couple clips and I was like, oh, she's like very, you can tell when someone's like wise when they start talking, when they have experience that feels like self-reflected on. Yeah. And I just got those kind of vibes from her. But she's had a billion years of internet experience, but she's like 14 still.
I know. I think she's maybe 22. Like, yeah. But
she talks like she's like 45 and she's been through it all. Woman. Yeah.
She's kind of my op, like I will say.
Yeah.
Because she is a blonde Gemini who loved editing on iMovie, who loves pigeons. She's like all these things that are so similar to me that I just, and I just see her. She's doing it all better and she's younger and hotter. And I'm like,
have you guys met?
No, I've never met her. And I'm like, dude.
I don't know how she doesn't sit in this chair on some future episode and the universe implodes because you finally meet each other.
Yeah, like we were joking about how like we feel like we're just long lost sisters that have finally sat down and talked for the first time.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, it's like trippy with her. What's interesting about her is like she was jump cutty, silly, cropping, filters, vlogs for the longest time. And then recently in the last few years, she just switched it up. And it's like Casey Neistat, except for completely different, where her stuff is like, I don't want to say Wes Anderson-y, but it is like artsy. And like, it's just a completely different
It has a style
vibe.
To it.
Yeah, actually, because she did this and all the vloggers were they're quaking. And so when she goes
from
jump
cutting. Uh-oh,
we
got a cool girl.
I know,
she's
right?
just waking up playing drums? Come on.
I know. Glass house with a view of the city.
Man, that's me just playing Beat Saber.
When I get frustrated when I'm playing drums, I hit my head with the sticks. It almost sounds like it should be a joke, because that's how dumb it is, but.
And so she brought in this wave of like chic music and quiet B-roll that wasn't really like now it's like nonverbal.
Yeah. It's a vibe.
Yeah,
it's a mood.
It's aesthetic. It's I feel like I'm watching the beginning of a movie.
Yes.
But then has like random comedic cuts and whatnot.
Yes, yes, yes. It's like a stylized vlogging.
Like I feel like I'm watching an indie film.
Yeah.
Let me show you something sad.
Oof. What happened?
Her hair. Oh. And then she cuts her hair. This is an indie film, you know what I mean?
Like, this is a woman going through it.
When I tell you the previous video was not that, and it's like such a pivot, and then all the other vlog girlies of her generation started doing this.
Following suit,
And it's interesting, it's almost like anti-passive viewing where nowadays, which passive viewing is like how people like to watch stuff, where it's like they just kind of hear what's going on in the background while they're on their phone or whatever. Yeah. It's like a time to slow down, kind of interesting vlogging. But
yeah, it's very like romanticizing your life.
Yes. And I feel like vlogging to its core kind of always was that.
Yes, for sure.
It's just nowadays they want videos that are so much longer.
Yeah.
Like how long were your videos typically back in the day?
Gosh, they were relatively short. I mean, like anywhere between like 5 minutes to 10 minutes, maybe. I felt like pushing 12 or 15 maybe was like, now I'm making a movie. Like, right. Who do I think I am?
Yeah.
But in the very beginning, when my roommate and I were making videos, we had a rule for ourselves that we would never make it over 2 minutes long. And so we would make little vlogs, but we would trade off who edited them, but it just had to be under 2 minutes because we were like, no one's going to watch a video that's longer than 2 minutes. I know the Vlog Brothers, Hank and John, had a 4 minute policy. I think they still do maybe, but.
Smosh did too.
Yeah.
Because like when I first started, they were like, ugh, this video is almost 5 minutes. We gotta.
Yeah, which is crazy. But now it feels like we've gone to the extreme ends where people either want to watch 15 seconds or they want to watch an hour and a half.
People have such specific lengths in mind where it's like people want something long enough that they can watch with their dinner or like for me, like my skincare routine, I put on like Spill Sesh and it's like a perfect amount of time.
That's smart.
And like I'm also like getting research of what's going on the
internet. Totally.
But it's either that or like the 15 seconds because you post vertical content too nowadays.
I'm dabbling in vertical content.
You're
right
doing
now.
Good. I love your stuff. It's so
Thanks.
Funny.
I've tried to remove the pressure of like having to create which is so much easier said than done, and just try to make the things that are relevant in my brain currently, and also like treating it truly as like an experiment. Like, let's throw spaghetti at a wall, which I assume is what Emma kind of did with that video, that you get so tired of doing something the same way over and over again mm-hmm. that you want to switch it up a little bit.
Absolutely.
But it's interesting. I mean, it's also so tough because everyone is so funny on the internet all the time. And like every joke has been made that even yes. if you sit and you try to write a joke, you're like, I don't even want to fact check to see if this joke has been made because I'll be disappointed if it's already done.
Oh God, the feeling of like when you think of a really, back when Twitter was a thing, like posting yes. a tweet and being like, this was so good. And then going, oh no, I needed to search this tweet. And yeah. then you see it was posted 100 times.
Do you guys feel more pressure? I mean, because you have a big operation happening to make sure that like the jokes and the bits and the things that you guys are doing are not already done by other people.
Man, I mean, with Try Not to Laugh specifically, like we're doing improv bits right. all the time. And I think it's like, as long as it's true to you.
Yeah.
And it came from an organic place. You kind of, because I also, what I feel like is happening now in terms of like, you know, the internet cycle is we're repeating history again. We're yeah. like, jokes are like new again. Yeah. I've noticed that where it's like, damn it. Like, yeah, I thought we already all knew this joke, but now this video has 1 million likes yeah. and like a joke is new again. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And I guess people like, because I have seen people do videos on TikTok and then I've seen people just very blatantly redo that video for themselves with the same joke, the same like literally copy paste, like
frame and, for frame, yeah.
Yeah, and everyone just seems fine with it. And in my mind, I'm like, that's a no-no. You don't do that.
No, even when I was on Vine, because that's like that, I was doing YouTube before then, but Vine was like where I first started getting like views and yeah. stuff. Like there was a huge discourse on that app was so small that if you copied, people knew and yeah. people were mad. And so the whole IB thing, IB colon, which is inspired by and then tagging the creator first mm-hmm. started. And like then on TikTok, I was like so anti-TikTok when it first came out because I felt like there was just, it was running rampant of like, you know, in stand-up comedy, it's like, don't yeah. copy people's jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's like, there is a large community that's like, who cares? I laugh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's so interesting. And it's like, yeah, I guess, whatever. But I kudos to people who can continue to still be original.
So when everyone started using TikTok, I still to this day feel absolutely overwhelmed every time I open TikTok because there's just no community aspect mm-hmm. to it, which is like what I'm so used to with YouTube is that you build your channel, which spawns community and you sort of like a garden, water and grow your community as best you can.
Yeah, and I think TikTok loves aimless scrolling. I think all social yes. media loves that more than anything. Speaking of aimless scrolling, we talked about potentially looking at your For You page.
Yeah.
My life would be so average if you let me look at your For You page. Grace Helbig has given us unbridled access to her iPhone. I saw the nudes. They're fantastic, but it's time to look at For You page on TikTok.
This is very vulnerable.
Yeah.
This is, I feel, a bit exposed. But
yeah, that is, I understand. I get that, but I'm so ready to just pick your brain.
Yeah, go for it. TikTok. Psychoanalyze me here.
Welcome back to American Mental Gymnastics. Today's event, the balance beam. Our competitors will have to do
news,
their best
vibes.
To maintain their
news. Sketch news,
their
I guess, okay.
ideologies, while our panel of esteemed judges does their best to knock our athletes
People
off
love this multi-person sketch stuff. It's so good.
It's a classic. Houston, okay.
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 Period. Someone got engaged at Z-Way's show. We love
wow.
Z-Way.
Wow.
That's so cute.
Oh, that's cute.
Okay, so check me out. Energy to energy. We hit, right? We made it here. We're sitting together. Hey.
This is one of those videos where it's like, this video will find you when you're ready.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I love
and somehow
those.
I'm always ready.
You're
finding me.
Always ready. No hashtags,
we
nothing.
We have some big news right now. The White House says that
news,
the president
news.
Believes-
okay, random person from your contacts.
Oh yeah, I think I'm gonna get into EDM. That's, yeah, that's the other on my to-do list. I was on a flight recently, and I was like, I'm gonna use TikTok, and for hours I was just watching EDM videos from what is it, Ultra, that was in Miami.
It's literally just a Creed at Ultra.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
Skrillex is back. Talk about nostalgia.
Oh my God, Skrillex was my god.
So I was like, this is kismet that like. I used to use Skrillex songs in my videos before I gave a damn about copyright claims.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? EDM really is fun. I should maybe get into that.
Like making it or like dancing to it?
Dancing to it. I'm looking for hobbies.
I love it. Dancing to EDM is an excellent hobby.
Yeah. It's basically just Beat Saber.
I love that for you.
How to monetize from your social media no matter what type of creator
you are. No! Get out of here! Boo! Oh,
it's rich. It's rich.
I'm obsessed with Gabby. Obviously.
On TV.
I love her. Anything she says, I agree with. That's Ramona Singer. Who is this?
This is someone else posting a video of a Real Housewife, a former Real Housewife of New York City. She does not post the most flattering things. She's also a tough personality in the world now, but she memes herself, basically, and so people are reposting.
I love that for her.
Gavin Newsom and I don't agree on everything, but
Anna,
I got
Anna Kana, are you inspired by her in some days?
Hugely.
She is, I see that.
Yeah, she is one of those longtime content creators that has also sort of reinvented herself in different ways, mm-hmm. but has stayed so true to herself. And what she's doing now, she's doing a lot of, like, distilling these scientific studies into, like, practical information that you can use in your life or not. Mm-hmm. And I just think she's really smart at what she does.
I agree. Yeah. I also had a bit of a girl crush on her.
Oh, yeah. She's a stunning human being.
She's a stunning. There's this one video that I have saved. There's this one top showing. But she's also got an incredible head on her shoulders.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not real. There's a rumor going around that he's going to enact martial law.
Okay. Another dress.
Why do they want me to wear dresses?
You gotta get this dress.
Like, we see you're getting into EDM. Would you like a bridal gown?
Would you like wear a satin, no straps gown to the EDM Creed concert?
Kelsey,
slay.
As my friend.
Okay, here are some of my rapid fire rules.
Oh, I love her.
One, do not take advice from people you wouldn't want.
She is a tarot reader, and she's fantastic. She's got just such a lovely, bright personality.
I feel like your feed, you kind of have worked to curate to get things that, like, you specifically want. Like, some people work harder on their algorithm than others. You know what I mean?
Really? Is that a thing?
Yeah. I mean, like, some people, like, hit that not interested button.
Yeah. I had to learn that in the beginning, that it's okay to hit not interested. I'm just so used to just moving on from content rather than being like, boo.
Yeah, I know. Wow. That was really special.
Whew.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd say looking at your feed, the kind of TikTok that you're on is the roller coaster that is news and then remembering who you are.
Mm.
And the thing that I think you need to remember who you are, Grace, is that you need to buy a dress.
I know. Apparently, I need a strapless A-line satin something
it's
in my closet.
It's time to frolic to EDM in the dirt and dust in a satin silk
looking
cottage dress.
Like a good Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that music was incredible back in the day, and I'm glad that it's kind of making a resurgence. There's also a lot of YouTubers who, like, do DJ sets now.
Yeah, I've gotten really into on like remixes and mashups on TikTok. I've been really enjoying them because one of my favorite things is watching DJs dance to their own drops. There's like four moves that they all do that they'll just be like, oh, like they know what's coming, but they act as if they don't. And I love the campiness of it.
It's like stand-up in a way.
Yeah. It's
stand-up.
So silly that I'm like, you guys can't be serious. And they're always wearing sunglasses or like a windbreaker from the 80s.
Yeah, like, hell cool, yeah. Dude. So speaking of what you're watching right now, what are you watching on YouTube nowadays?
The only thing I'm really watching on YouTube is literally these guys right here.
Oh my God.
Jackie and Shadow, the Big Bear Eagles that have a live cam.
Oh yes. Got a shirt for them?
I have two shirts and my husband got a zip up hoodie. It took over a month for them to arrive, but it was worth every penny. There they are.
The babies.
So they have two babies, Gizmo and Sunny, I think.
Rest in peace to the third one.
Yeah, rest in peace, little pipe cleaner. But they are. It's incredible. It's so comforting. I have it on like every day. And I wake up in the morning, I make coffee, I sit with my birds. And
that sounds amazing. Wait.
Yeah. And also, if you want to talk about a safe and supportive community, shout out Eagle Fam. These people that will go into the chat, it's a lot of like parents with their kids that are watching or teachers with their students. But it is like the most pure, saccharine sweet community you have ever seen of people that are like truly garnering their happiness from the lives of these birds. It is really incredible.
This is amazing. I need to have this just on all day.
It's
what am
so
I doing?
Soothing. It's so soothing. Put the volume way down because when they screech, it's harrowing. But it is just like a beautiful live feed all day.
Amazing.
So these are the content creators that I've moved over
favorite
to.
Favorite influencer is Shaddy and Jacko.
Yeah. But I will still watch like... Same kind of thing, the nostalgia comfort watch. I'll watch Hank and John posts. I'll watch like Gigi Gorgeous when she posts or like if Tyler, like his TikToks I'll watch. So it's like I do have like a familiar set of content creators that I watch. We watch a lot of clips of Hassan Piker's live stream. I think his Twitch is really great. And so that's kind of the content that I'm watching.
Hell yeah. What are your thoughts on Disney adults?
Oh, right. That's the other content I'm watching. Oh, my God. Okay. It started as a, like, what is going on with these Disney adults? And I've talked about this on my own podcast ad nauseum, that, like, when I was going through breast cancer treatment, I just started watching Disney adults, like, full on, full comfort. And... they are some of the most fascinating people to me because their love for the things they love is so deep and so pure that it makes me question, do I love anything in my life as deeply and as purely as these people do? And the fact that a lot of them have become full-time content creators, I'm just like, you are living in line with your purpose. You are living your dream. You have figured it out. Mm-hmm. You are doing a job that is truly like your life's passion. There's something very aspirational about what they do.
Yeah, yeah. And so you might have seen then Soundproof Liz.
Yes, I love Liz.
Yeah, she's our channel manager at Smosh.
Yes, and Liz.
We have a clip here from Lizzie's vlogs. I have never watched her videos, to be fair. So sorry, Lizzie.
Ranking all the restrooms in Disneyland.
Excellent. This really is funny, great content already.
Mm-hmm. And we're actually going to do it. I'm going to pee everywhere. We're going to be ranking all of them based on the three
she made that
criteria.
Hat.
Vibe,
really?
Cleanliness, and size. Now, vibe is like the decor. Is it loud? Is it quiet? Both can be good for certain reasons. The cleanliness, does it smell?
Yeah.
Is it clean generally? And the size, how many stalls are there? Do you have to wait in line for a long time?
See, this is helpful information for people.
Yes.
The restroom has an alien on it.
Some people want to know the least anxious bathroom.
Exactly.
6 is a good clean bathroom. For size, I'll give it a 4.
See, a good clean bathroom.
There's endless content to be made around the Disney parks.
Also,
it blows my mind.
If you want to get into the like little things of it, it's like she's standing in a still shot, but there's so much to look at.
That's the other thing that blows my mind is that I am sensory overloaded pretty easily. Like even this set, I don't think if you asked me, hey, what was on those shelves, I wouldn't remember a single thing. I'll just be like, a lot. There was just a lot.
A lot.
That's how Disney is to me. Like I cannot focus on any particular thing, but they're like boom, 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 boom. Like it's all registered.
On the topic of this set, to be fair, my like when talking to the art department, I was like, I just like want it to be like a lot. And they nailed it.
It's perfect. But the like ability to be present with a lot, I have a hard time with. And Disney adults are like, that's what they prefer.
Mm-hmm.
They're like so present with all of the things that they love.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's really aspirational.
Yeah, like the whimsy is turned all the way up on the volume.
Yeah.
Love that.
What do you watch? Like, what's your like, okay, I'm at home by myself and I can watch whatever I want right now. I'm going to veg out.
So I watch a lot of Spill Sesh.
Okay.
That's like what I'll automatically put on. It's not always like a topic that I'm like specifically interested in. Her name's Christy Cook. She was one of those like tea spill channels. But over time she's like really evolved to like, she sounds and delivers her stuff like a news reporter.
Cool.
Sounds like she got like a radio host degree of some kind. Like she's worked really hard. And like she's reading court documents. She's very like diplomatic and very empathetic with how she handles everything.
Cool.
I think I let my job take over so much when I'm like, it's beneficial to me and my job to know what's going
on. Sure, yeah.
But she goes, what's up, you guys? Today we're gonna be talking about everything going on right now with Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber. Now, everyone thinks Hailey Bieber is unfollowing Justin, but she says it's just a glitch. I don't know, you guys. This is all so crazy. And that's like every video as I'm like exfoliating my cheeks.
There is such a cadence online now.
The influencer dialect,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is grating to me. And the same, but there's also like educational influencers fall into it too. Like people that we were traveling last year out of the country. And so we were watching all these videos about the countries that we were going to be traveling to. And every travel vlog we watched, they had the same exact like cadence yeah. over the B-roll that they were showing. And yeah. I was like, what is this?
Get ready with me for my 23rd birthday dinner.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It's so weird. I used to think like, oh, I was like, I guess they're just really trying hard so that the closed captions are accurate when it like,
oh,
gets,
true.
That's what I thought. But it really is like, today we are trying the new mascara that I am yes. really excited about. Could not be me.
Yeah.
I literally sometimes when I'm so excited, I forget consonants exist mm-hmm. and I'd be blowing. I actually think I need to like go to a coach or something, but it is so interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting cadence. It rubs me a little bit the wrong way because it feels very like adopted from, like it feels like AI generated.
Yeah, it's like now there's an internet accent yeah. region like that, yeah. like, but I guess I never heard a Southern.
Today, we are going to be trying yeah. on this new lip gloss that I just...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it does freak me out. Okay, so we've talked about a lot of different eras and pockets of the internet. And we mentioned that you were really among the first that was seen and championed by mainstream media. I feel like I was getting caught in the little spill sesh voice for a second there.
And I just think it is so funny to me that this thumbnail exists, this video exists where it's a picture and it's so of the time of you and James Corden.
Wow.
James Corden next to each other with the phrase yourself in yeah. front of it.
And we're just having a blast.
And I think that's wow. a good representation of like that time. And like,
I want to know what that was like being in that wave and like getting that big show, the Grace Helbig show,
yeah, yeah.
which was like essentially you were coming in to be this like digital Chelsea Handler, which they've tried a few times since then, you know, Lily Singh,
yeah,
they
yeah.
tried it and it's like, they just can't seem to get it right.
And I don't know if there is a right, you know, I don't even right. know if that's the kind of content that needs to be made.
Totally, like it, but like I can't help like with my producer brain, like yeah. look at, cause like I want to watch this clip with you where I'm just like, wow, there's so much to unpack. And you said you kind of have blocked out a bunch of this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, this was happening at a time, this is like an amazing opportunity, but it was also happening at a time that I think I was like peak dissociated from how chaotic my life had gotten mm-hmm. with everything going on. So there is, you might notice a vacancy behind the eyes.
All right, let's take a look at this guy.
Internet, we did it. We are making dreams come true. Yes, specifically and only my dreams, but that counts because Dwayne Johnson is here tonight. Dave, now you go.
How big was the camera? Do you remember?
It was a big boy, a little bigger than these.
Thank you so much.
Okay, can I just say, y'all are so close to each other.
Yeah, and if it looks close on camera, we were even closer in person.
This is the question that people ask me for, because I have to date, like, the biggest celebrity that I interacted with.
Yeah.
Which was, I was pranked, and they had me on a game show where I ended up slow dancing with Chris Pratt. Pre-problematic shit. So
wow.
It was just we were living on cloud nine. And people to this day have asked me, like, what did he smell like?
Yeah.
And I didn't think to smell him. I forgot. I didn't think about it. I feel like in this shot, I'm like, y'all are so close to each other. Can you smell yeah. each other's breath?
Well, the hardest part is that the set for this was incredible. I could mm-hmm. not believe they took like a house in Silver Lake and they basically redid the interior of the house to make it look like a nicer version of my house that I vlogged in. And but with that, we could not run the air conditioning while we were shooting. And so it was so hot. We shot in the summer, I think. It was so unbelievably hot. And this, I remember him sweating so much, but like being such a good guy about it, such a class act. I think we had maybe like 15 minutes or 20 minutes in total with him, like in general. It was like, he's in, he's out, he's got to go to another event. And he
wow.
was game for everything that we threw at him. And also, like, we were trying to shoot so quickly because the house, it was like a 3-story house. It would just burn up immediately as soon as we dropped the AC. And so I just remember him being such a trooper. Like, he could have easily been like, I'm out, guys. I'm so busy. Sorry. This is, like, not my priority right now. And he was great.
That's awesome. Seeing this and knowing that you've really done the thing. That was, like, interviewing, working with celebrities and stuff. Like, I'm new to this interviewing stuff. I'm very curious, like, where your head was at in, like, preparing for stuff like this and at that time.
Well, I started out while I was trying to do YouTube stuff, and that was still kind of like a secret endeavor. I got a gig as a correspondent on Attack of the Show, like, way back in the day. And so they would send me, when I still lived in New York, to their East Coast press junkets, and I would interview people, like, for different movies. But they loved to have a shtick. So they loved to put me in a stupid-looking costume and have me, like, go into the cast of Harry Potter wearing, like, an eye patch with a wandering eye and, like, that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm game for all of that. So that I really think helped me learn how to interview people and to interview people very quickly to get to the meat and potatoes of what I wanted to ask, but also learn how to make them feel comfortable. Because I think that's the biggest thing.
What was the process of seeing them try and take YouTube and translate it to
TV? It was crazy. That whole time period was so hard to process. Because at the heart of it, I'm still, like, very introverted and very shy. And so suddenly YouTube felt like it plucked me and was like, we're going to put you on billboards and we're going to give you this TV show. And you're going to still maintain, like, your YouTube and you're going to be, like, chill about it the whole time. And so it was, like, all of this incredible stuff happening. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, like, in a great and thankful and privileged way, like, the friends and collaborators that I had made on YouTube collaborators that became close friends and vice versa, that this was also happening to them too. So it was like I had this network of people I could, you know, relate to with everything happening, but it still was such a fever dream of opportunity. And you still feel this sense of, like, being undeserving of all of this attention in certain ways. And it's safer to just be at home behind my computer getting attention and not be, like, out in the world or, like, billboards of things out there. So it felt like it became very real very quickly. Like, this is a business and there's a lot of pressure, and just be funny and just do it again and again and again and again and again. And so I started having kind of like a hard time managing my own sort of burnout and my own sort of like denial of my burnout, which was just like, in psychological terms, the more you repress something, the more it comes out in different ways. Like, it'll never go away. So you can't really push it down. You have to face all those uncomfortable feelings. And so it was really tough and warranted that by like 2018, 19, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to go to graduate school. I just need to know that there's a world outside of this space that is so, feels like so much pressure for me now. There was this duality of just like amazing things to celebrate and just the difficulty processing all of the intense feelings that came along with that.
Yeah. It's been so long that I've been doing this that I forgot that, like, a lot of YouTubers, and I am one of them, that's like, YouTubers typically were very introverted people who got to, like, be themselves and kind of be extroverted online on a camera. And so, to take that person and put them in other environments, I didn't think about how that really can.
And a lot of YouTubers, you know, like you said, this is a unique situation in which you have like a team, you have like a full production, and a lot of YouTubers are independent creatives for better or worse. And so they carry the burden of everything that comes with content creation when they can't like delineate it out amongst a team. And so you see a lot of YouTubers kind of crash and burn or disappear or, you know, have breakdowns either publicly or privately because there wasn't a blueprint for how to handle everything that was happening. There was just a encouragement to keep going.
I've felt this way for a while, and I don't really talk about it a lot, but it's like this world that we live in and work in, I feel like you do need to be consciously putting in work to take care of yourself mentally, because like, this is just a crazy world that we live. And if you're not actively, like, working to take care of yourself, I think you are inevitably going to be deteriorating, whether it's from burnout, whether it's from the public's opinion. Like, so many things just impact you. Like, when you look at some of the YouTubers that have, like, they explode in fame and then just have, like, a crash out or, like, huge cancellation. It's, like, in any career, you'll see a lot of longevity in yourself if you're, like, putting in the work to take care of yourself and not just like letting yourself go by the wayside because you're having fun at your job or whatever.
And it's also unconscious, right? Like that is how these algorithms, you know, attract us. That is how they keep us on. That's how these platforms keep us on all of the platforms, using them unconsciously, is that we, you know, grow these like dopamine feedback loops that, and especially being in front of the camera, that you see these likes, you see these positive comments, you see this subscriber growth. And even if you don't register it consciously, you're like, hell yeah, cool, awesome. I'm good. I'm valuable. I'm important. I'm making connections. I'm having, you know, some sort of purpose in the world. And I think that is great to a degree. And that's where I think after years of sort of unconsciously putting my value in this external evaluation system of these platforms, the burnout was like, oh, I don't like me because I've put all of my value on other people having to like me. And so being a creative or an entertainer in any on any platform, it's like you have to figure out your balance with that.
Yes. Yeah. I think, you know, we watched some of Emma Chamberlain stuff. One of her like big lessons that she talks about with her dad is like her dad was like, hey, sometimes artists need to stop and live life for a while so that they have something new to say.
Yes.
I think that's important, especially when you're taking on other projects outside of that. Like, you got so many awesome opportunities, including making movies.
Yeah.
You had Camp Dakota, which performed so much better than Smosh the Movie on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. I think double the percent. So congratulations.
Wow.
You should be really, really proud.
We are, I mean, we are very, very proud. Girls rule, boys drool. Always has
been. That's right. That's right. And you also did Electra Woman. This was all like with a span of a few years. There's Camp Dakota 2014.
Yeah.
Electra Woman and Dinah Girl in 2016 and Dirty 30 in 2016. So I want to play a game with you. If YouTuber movies ended up being blockbuster hits and actually slayed in the box office, you know what I mean? What do you think movies would be nowadays if YouTubers were making them? If we were to continue doing that stuff.
Like, what movies would YouTubers make today?
Like, I'm trying to think of, like, what's a hypothetical movie that, you know.
Like, Rhett and Link, Dumb and Dumber.
Right.
Remake.
Like a Dumb and Dumber reboot? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or literally a Parent Trap, Rhett and Link.
Rhett and Link. Oh, my God. Fantastic Four, but it's the Vlog Squad.
Yeah. Is that still a thing?
No, that's long gone.
Oh, damn.
But that would have been crazy if the Marvel Universe started involving, like, the Sister Squad. Like,
well, I think this is maybe not the game, but this is, like, an offshoot of the game.
Yeah.
I've been saying lately that there should be a season of the Traitors that is just all OG YouTubers.
Oh,
right?
Please.
Audible gasp in the room. It sells itself.
I will get on my knees and beg.
But
that
I feel like
incredible.
Joey Graceffa did some version of something where
that's right.
What is that? What was it?
Escape the night.
I was like, marry the night.
Yes. That was a Hot Topic semi-recently too, because there is a reboot coming.
Is there?
Yes, there is.
Well,
and
there
the shoot went so well.
What movie would Mr. Beast make? Obviously, that feels like that guy has to make a movie, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's gonna be I feel like a biopic of him one day. That's just
gonna
feel
say
like
biodome.
There's gonna be a biodome. There's gonna be just like freaking. What's the movie? He's gonna have his own version of Gladiators.
I feel like he is so ahead of his own plans that I feel like he's had a documentary crew behind the scenes filming him for years at this point.
Oh yeah. I'm sure it's like already like they're editing it as they go.
Yeah.
I feel like his biopic would like make him seem like a Great Gatsby type where it's like the man behind the
I don't want that. I don't want that. I
want
to know the problems.
Either.
I want to know the mistakes. I want to know the pitfalls.
Yep. Agree.
If there was a documentary of a YouTuber that's no longer sort of, I don't want to say no longer with us.
No longer with us. Just isn't doing what they do anymore.
Yeah, is there anyone that you'd want a Jenna Marbles?
Yes. Imagine if they finally, like if she finally sat down.
But she honestly is so symbolic of kind of what I was talking about earlier of like you hit a peak pressure point. I cannot, like I've had enough attention online. I cannot imagine the level of attention that she has had to observe and process in her life. And for her in 2020 to be like, I'm out, like that is just the most beautiful sort of move and pivot. And like the fact that she is still living what we can only assume is a fulfilling life in the privacy of her own life is just so incredible to me.
Yeah, it was so wild to see that precedent of like, I'm leaving, I'm done, and actually sticking with it.
Yeah, and being like, I hear you on the criticisms you have about like the binary content that I was making or whatever. And it's too much to live up to people's standards of content right now. Cause it is truly like, it's impossible to please everyone all the time. And when you're at her level of engagement, like that is going to, if you have any feelings about anything, it's going to overwhelm you.
There's definitely like no perfect way to apologize. There's really wonderful ways. And I see comments all the time of people being like, we miss her. Can she come back? But then I'll see comments of being like, she did what people should do when you want to take accountability and truly step off. Granted, there are people that like much more should be gone from the internet. but she handled that really gracefully and like, I would definitely hope that she's living a very fulfilling life. And like, that would be so cool to see a biopic or like a documentary breaking that whole life down up until today. Like, to be, sometimes I think a lot of creators probably fantasize a little bit about going off the grid.
Yeah.
And like, just what it's like to not have to depend on a place that the internet just can take so much of you.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So that's such an interesting topic. I like that a lot.
Do you ever fantasize about going off the grid? Do you take time off? Do you have one day off a week?
I should. Yes. I work really hard to like have weekends, you know? And like, my job is a full-time job and we film a lot, but like I do have free time, but I don't take enough breaks.
Yeah.
So I think once you go a certain period of time where you haven't given yourself a break, you start going, what if I just stopped? But I really love this too much. Like I feel like maybe you can relate to this. After a certain while, you really feel... I feel like I have a purpose.
Yeah. When I was really young, I remember I took mushrooms and I had this like epiphany that I really just wanted to make people laugh. And it was so profound on my life. And then after I got burnt out, I just was like so disconnected from that feeling. And took time off enough to like really ask myself, is that something that I'm still connected to or do I need to do something else? And I did it. And I was able to sort of reignite my love for entertainment and desire to make people laugh, which makes it easier to make content because you're like, I just genuinely feel compelled to do this.
Yeah.
Not out of like a neurotic need for like approval, but more so like, I just want to make people laugh.
So we are not the only YouTubers that have made movies. Mm-hmm. I actually was not in a movie. What am I saying? Smosh did. I'm a cameo in their second movie. My life is average. Next we have a game really quick. We have other YouTuber movies that we're going to guess that YouTuber movie/show. Oh my
God. Are these real things?
These are real that exist online. We have this PowerPoint. We're going to go through them. We're going to see the stills and we're going to kind of rapid fire.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, I know this.
Fred.
That's Fred.
Fred. Yeah.
That movie, good for him.
You want to talk about real content.
And he kind of succeeded for a bit to a degree because he had the show.
To give Lucas his flowers, to be able to move from a character that was so embedded in the culture of YouTube and start making content as himself.
Yes.
That is a tricky, tricky thing for an audience to follow you on. And I think he's done it really well.
I agree. I've seen that too. Okay.
What the hell? This is like a Black Mirror episode.
Oh, this is giving clan. I don't like it. What is this? Edge of Sleep, Markiplier.
Oh, okay, sure.
I forgot he did like a scary thing.
That he's like a person that I've met multiple times, incredibly nice person, but I don't think I've ever seen a piece of his content.
Wow.
I know, it's sad.
Wow, I watched a lot of his, but not this movie. I maybe need to check it out, okay?
Wow.
Oh, yep. This is that one. That's him. Oh, you know what that is, Grace? You know what that is? You were in this too. This is a still from Swatch the Movie.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I was in this movie.
You were also in this movie, okay.
But I wasn't playing myself.
Okay.
Jason Nash?
Oh, is this Airplane?
Jason Nash is married. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. 2014?
Wow.
Probably will not watch. Sorry. Let's keep going. Oh.
Is that Ryan Higa?
Oh my God. They're on a plane. They're doing a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible 5.
Not So Excellent Adventure. 2008? Wow.
Wow, Ryan and Sean's Not So Excellent Adventure.
Is Ryan still making content?
Maybe.
I have no idea.
I feel like I still see him around.
Camp Dakota!
Get together.
Oh
my God. Yay.
How fun.
Cute. Oh, this is Rhett and Link, yeah.
Yeah, they love that shit. They love that kind of shit.
I love them. Oh.
Oh, that's one of the D'Amelios?
Yeah, I think there was a documentary about the D'Amelio sisters. The D'Amelio Show!
Yeah, okay.
Yes. They were going to be the Kardashians, I think, of TikTok or something.
Yes, I've never really watched anything that they've done.
That's okay.
Am I missing out?
I can't tell you because I don't know. Because I haven't. I think when it's like, okay, so dancing. And then I moved on. But I think they're both very big, like, internet moguls. They be making business moves and stuff. So I don't want to talk too much shit, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Now.
Yes.
You are doing live shows.
Yes, I am. Right? I have a debut hour of stand-up comedy that I am starting to take out into the world, which is so exciting.
Oh, and you've done a little bit of stand-up for a lot in your life, I think.
I started out doing improv comedy in New York and sketch comedy in New York. Mamrie and I met on our very first sketch comedy team at the People's Improv Theater back in like 2008. So like that's kind of where I started in comedy. So it feels like very full circle to be going back to that with a piece that I feel really inspired by. Mm.
Do you have a name for the show?
Let me get this off my chest. It is a funny exploration of my experience with breast cancer. It's funny, I swear.
I believe you. No, I feel like I was saying this to you. I really feel like it's so clear that the voice that you have online is to be silly and fun, but also heartfelt and authentic and vulnerable.
Yeah, and I've really learned that. Like, I used to make merch that said dress to repress. So it's very much like push your feelings away. Everything's funny all the time.
That's good.
Yeah, I've learned that that is not the human experience and that it is more valuable to be a bit more vulnerable. And I especially learned that getting diagnosed with breast cancer. So this has been a really beautiful way to sort of process and metabolize the experience and put it into something that I think is entertaining.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I think creators like you are super, super important to this very fragile ecosystem that is the internet.
Thank you.
You, I think, are a force of positivity and looking inward that people need. Like, I have a lot of YouTubers that I watch too that really give me a sense of like clinging to positivity, authenticity, and like having our feet in the ground, whether there's grass there or not. And like, I think it's really cool.
Thanks.
And I think that the joke that you had said a long time ago when you first talked about your breast cancer with, can you say it? It is so good. The one about,
which one?
You said, I managed to build an entire career without using my rack, and now look at me.
Yeah. I kept my boobs off the internet for so long. And they came back to bite me. So, now they're the center of the show.
I love it. That's poetic as hell.
Thanks.
Really excited. If you're able to go see it, or maybe has it already happened?
There's one in St. Louis on July 27th. And then there's one in Atlanta There's one in St. Louis on June 27th. Maybe that date has already come and gone. And there's one in Atlanta on July 7th.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm taking it to Edinburgh Fringe. Yeah, in August. So I'm going to be there for the month of August with it. And that's going to be a whole experience in and of itself that I think I'm going to try to vlog a little bit.
Please.
While I'm there and see how it goes. We'll see.
I feel like that is just something that's so natural to you, is like vlogging along with your life. I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
Are you like, I know that sometimes like a venue at Edinburgh, in Edinburgh at this convention is like, you'll be like in a bathroom performing.
Yeah, basically it's going to be a hot box little theater that is going to challenge me in ways that I don't even know yet. So I'm kind of excited to go for like the entertaining boot camp of it all.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I just want to thank you so much for coming on this show. This show is still very new. And like we were talking off camera about how I've never done like an interview show before.
You fucking crushed it. Aww. Like it's very natural and it's so lovely. I know we're on camera, but it is so lovely to just talk to you about the internet because you have such an experience that is so profound and inspiring to a lot of people, myself included.
Oh, thank you. Hearing your improv experience and like and everything, would you ever like want to do like a try not to laugh or something?
I would. I would be so fucking scared and intimidated to do it because I haven't done improv in probably, I don't know, a decade. And the way like you guys are funny and quick. And you have the references and the youth to carry it off.
Oh, please.
But yeah, I wouldn't turn it down.
Hell yeah. No, and trust me, you'll be fine. The only improv experience I have is at Smosh and then like
really?
A couple years of comedy sports in high school. So
hell yeah.
It's just experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
it's a vulnerability. It's literally just a willingness to make yourself look stupid.
Yep, and that is the internet.
Yes, for sure.
If you're doing it right, is looking stupid and having fun doing it.
Yes.
Okay. If you were to simplify your life in one tweet or in a Instagram bio, what would it be?
I think it would be the catchphrase that I've had for many years, that I don't know.
I think that's your bio right now, isn't it? I don't know.
It is. I remember I got a chance to do Larry King's web series, and one of the most profound things he said, he's like, the only thing I know is that I don't know.
Huge.
And I was like, yes, Larry. Incredible.
Yes, Larry.
Yeah, maybe be that.
Love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thank you, Grace, again, for coming on the show. Hope you guys leave the internet feeling better than when you opened it today. Okay? Bye-bye.
Is this chill, the way I'm sitting?
Yeah.
Does it look normal?
Does it look like... Like two sisters that are finding out for the first time that they're related.
We have like a picture that like meets with the seam in the middle.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's just the parent trap again.
Yeah.